It's the Jono, Ben and Sharon podcast.
Edges, quit your day job. Come work with us. Kia ora, everybody. Welcome along to Quit Your Day Job, the live auditions. You are Sharon here, and as you know, at the end of the year, Jono and Ben are leaving me. They're abandoning me. They're just leaving me here by myself. So we were going to look for a new co-host, and we thought we could do it the normal way, which is behind closed doors and then go, surprise! Or we could involve you in the process, and the listeners get to help us choose the new co-host on the afternoon show. So we're going to be doing that all this week, doing live auditions. If you want to enter, go to theedge.co.nz. But it is time to meet today's contestant.
The Edges, quit your day job.
And she goes, but Anthony, why is there two $20 notes in the top of your pocket? And I said, well, that was from the guy that soiled my pants.
And your live audition starts in 3, 2, 1.
So welcome to the studio. We've got Ant joining me this afternoon. Ant, you are amazing. I've met you at
amazing
a party.
Amazing looking. Sharon Casey, thank you for letting me come into the humble abode. The one bedroom rent here can't be that expensive, but I want to go amazing. And also that little sting, that was probably only the second time I soiled my pants. So
it was only the second time? Have you done it today? Are you nervous?
No, I did it last week.
Did you?
No, I didn't, but we won't go into any details. No, I'm not nervous. I'm okay. Excited to be here.
Good. Well, I'm excited to have you here. I met you at a party last year.
Yes.
You've got great banter, so I'm looking forward to seeing how that goes on the radio.
I'm surprised you still got ears.
Only just. But also, you were on a show called The Short and Wide. You do some stuff in the TAB.
Yeah.
What's a fun fact about you?
A fun fact is Short and Wide was actually written from our flat garage with a man I met over a couple of beers, and we used to hand out business cards saying to girls that we had our own show for about 2 years called Short and Wide, and then we actually got a TV show on TVNZ. It was brilliant.
Talking to you off air, also looking at you, very interesting. Like a very, you've got the most manly beard that I've ever sat across.
Yeah, well, it looks auburn in the sunlight. It's not a great look, but I tell you what, I like to be rough around the edges, Sharon, and sometimes when I like to put on my glad rads, especially around the climax of this season, the silly season I like to call it.
Yep.
I know, like you like to get dressed up.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, something brutal happened last week.
What happened to you?
Well, I'll tell you what, race season, cup week, I had to go down there, do some presenting, and I get my carcass wrapped by Barkers. You know, they make me look
pretty.
Hey, mate,
don't come and audition for the show and just come on and plug your sponsors.
Oh, there was not sponsors. It's pre-purchased myself.
Oh, okay, sweet.
Anyway, from my birthday money. what I was going to say is that I went and looked inside the mirror. I put my blazer on the night before and I was like, geez, you look good. And I don't normally say that. It's normally with a light off. And I thought, I'm going to go get myself some dinner. As you do,
yep,
as a single man. So I popped down to a Woolworths and I walked down aisle 5, got my contents, and I go to the checkout. Sharon, there's a girl standing in front of me. And with this new confidence, I reckon about 30% more confidence, I was like, I'm not going to let this opportunity slide. I looked into her basket, and looking at the contents of her basket, I was like, she has to be single. She had
what?
A microwave meal for one.
Okay,
lasagna.
That's good.
A Pinot Noir, Central Otago. I think it was a 96, a bit of a vintage. And also a Kit Kat Chunky. Now, okay. I've done the maths and I've put all, you know, the two and two together. I was like, she's single. So
that's definitely a night alone supermarket basket, like 100%.
But yeah, so anyway, I do my tie and I tap her on the shoulder and I say, hey, I didn't mean to alarm you. But I was like, I want to ask you a simple question. You've got to be single. And she sort of turned around and
offensive.
Is it okay? Come in a bit too hot.
Yes.
But I thought I'd just break the ice. You come in and you tell it how it is. You know, I'm black and white. I call a spade a spade. She looked at me up and down, and she had a bit of a smirk at one part of the upwards look. And I said, she's like, how did you know? And I was like, well, I looked at the contents of your basket and put the two and two together. And she goes, well, that's a hell of an observation. It turned around and carried on scanning away. Here am I standing with the contents of my basket. I got a steak for one, 6-pack of Corona beers, and their new vegan Cornetto ice cream.
Okay.
And she goes, she turned around, she goes, I might as well throw the question back at you. This is when I started getting a bit hot under the collar, and you know, I put my hand through my hair, and I'm like, well, how did you know? And she goes, because you're bloody ugly.
Oh, now, she savaged you back.
Well, she did.
This could be true love, though, because you both sound like a pair of, like, absolute killers.
Yeah, no, so she dug the dagger quite deep, and I hope she's actually listening, because, you know, I'd love to call her out and, you know, like, let's sort this out over here.
Yeah, go for a date.
Yeah, why not?
Well, it could actually work out, because, I mean, everyone's, you know, hard to get, always does work in a dating scenario, but
brutal rejections are something that happens to people all the time. Like, I remember somebody literally laughed about me. It was my husband.
Yes.
When my cousin tried to set us up. They're like, oh, what about Sharon? And apparently he laughed, said F off, and then walked off. And now that SOB is married to me, so he can regret
that later.
Well,
he ran out of options, didn't he? So.
Excuse me?
Okay, apologies.
But yes, you're probably right, though, with his track record.
When you're working in the same office building, you know, there's not many going around.
That's true. Well, 0800 The Edge, text us at 3343 right now. What is the most brutal rejection that you've had in the dating arena? We've got Jax. What is your most savage rejection you've had?
Yeah, I went out on a first date with a guy. We went out to dinner. And just before we were going to order dinner, we were just talking about ourselves. He cut me off mid-sentence, told me I had bad chat, and decided to just leave halfway through the date.
That wasn't me, was it?
You would not do that.
Well, I would.
Would
I think
you?
It's sort of like negging, Sharon. You know, you throw some negative comments out there and then they bite back and they're sort of like the bad boy vibe.
No.
People love it.
Oh, my God. Jax, is that what you got? Did you think that he was a bad boy, or did you just think he was a bit of a dick?
Just a bit of a dick. I was really nervous as well, so it was not a good feeling.
Oh, Jax, I'm so sorry. Well, I'm glad. It sounds like you dodged a bullet there. Maybe that's what you need to stop doing.
Yeah, are you single, Jax? I'll take you on a date. I'll put a smile on that dial.
You know what? I might consider it.
Sign to my DMs.
All right, we'll hook you guys up. We'll link you up together. We've got Andrew on 0800 The Edge. What about you? What is the most savage rejection you've had?
Yeah, well, I just arrived in London. I hadn't been there long, and a friend of mine from back home said, oh, yeah, there's a girl at my work, a British girl, who she's single at the moment. She's looking for someone to hang out with. You guys could be good together. So I was like, oh, yeah, whatever. I've never done a blind date before. So she teed it up with this girl, and basically this girl, she was from Leeds, I believe. We went on a first date. We literally got there, knew nothing about her. I was like, man, she's fine. She's good looking. And, you know, after about sort of 2-3 minutes, I realised there just was not something right. And I said to her, are you all good? Are you fine doing this sort of blind date thing? And she goes, oh, yeah, it's just I thought all Kiwis were hot.
No! What is with these ladies? That is so mean.
I don't think it's mean. It's character building. And the thing is, she's from Leeds. And we've seen what kind of breed comes out of there, Sharon.
Oh,
not bad.
Excuse me, Melanie C from the Spice
Girls. No, I'm not saying not bad. You've taken this the wrong way. But, you know, the hair extensions, the long eyelashes and stuff, the cake, the face. So you got to give it back, mate. That's my kind of advice.
He can't go back and say that to her? Oh, my God.
Well, she didn't actually look like that. So she was actually, like, I was surprised she was from Leeds. But I said to her, I was like, well, look, I suppose that date's over then. And I said, next time, you know, maybe don't go on a blind date before you're saying what someone looks like.
But that's why they call blind dates. You know, Sharon, you don't know what you're going to expect, and that's why it's so exciting.
Oh,
and that's why you sweat, perspire like, no tomorrow.
You were trying to think of a good metaphor there. I'm like, I'm going to leave this. Tell me your euphemism. I just could not handle it. I would cry in that situation. If someone ever said that to me, like, just pretend that you've got a family emergency or something, rather than, like, break somebody's spirit.
Did he get any other dates after that? Do we know that?
Did you get any more dates?
Nah, still single.
Oh, I'll take you on a date as well, mate.
And you are a bit of a loose, you know. I met you at a party last year and had the best time.
Bryce Casey's birthday?
No, that was another party. We went to an engagement party, and that was where I met you for the very first time. And I think I sat and talked to you for about half an hour.
Sharon, I like to be a bit of a loose unit, but I tend to call it more of a character. I'm a character with stories. Loose unit thrown around willy-nilly is detrimental to my health.
Now, it's funny you say that, because I've actually got one of your friends on the phone right now.
Oh, well, okay.
And your friend may agree with me when I say loose unit. Please welcome to the show Chiefs and All Black, Brad Webber. Hello, Brad.
Hello, hello. Thanks for having me on. Anthony.
One loose unit to another.
Well, Brad, I understand that you've got, you know Ant quite well, and you've got some good stories. So, because I think our listener pals need to know the real Ant, because he's been kind of well behaved this hour. What have you got to tell us about Ant?
Anthony being well-behaved, that's a surprise. Anthony is, he'd be one of my best mates. He's a great man, but, you know, I'm trying to think of, I know it's family-friendly, but Anthony suffers from probably the worst hangover anxiety I've ever come
across. Oh, my God, we all have so much in common. I'm the same.
Oh, we're all cut from the same cloth. We're only human. Come on, guys.
I know. So what happens when he gets this anxiety, Brad?
The amount of times I've, on a Sunday, had phone calls from Anthony telling me
you know, he's 31 now. Time to settle down and perhaps find a girlfriend. And sure enough, the next week rolls around and he's doing the same thing all over again.
Once you recover, that 3-day recovery is what you need. And then once you're resurrected from the dead, it's amazing how exciting Auckland can be.
Oh, yeah. You can get right back out there.
I'm only one fizzy drink away from having one of the greatest nights of my life and making a lot of friends and memories. Lack off. Yeah,
Your poor parents, though, and you, I know you spend most Sundays around there.
Locked in the cage.
They nurse you back to health. And I actually met your old man for the first time the other week, and he sat me down and he said that he's quite concerned about you. He doesn't think you're ever going to find a girlfriend, find a wife. And I promised him we would, but he's failed so far.
To be honest, he's hit the nail right on the head there, Sharon. I might even interrupt you there, Brad, because I have had a relationship for 6 years and then a 4-year relationship, so I was in stable relationships.
Oh, right.
It's just, you know, this whole career thing and trying to make people laugh and stuff got the better of me. But I might as well just use this as a forum to, you know...
Try me a lady?
I am single. I am freshly single. I'm a slightly obese and I've got a ginger beard. So if you like that, I'm sliding to my DMs, please.
Okay, sweet. Well, you can look up Ant on his Instagram. But Brad, what do you reckon? Do you think that Ant would be a good co-host for me?
I do think that. I think he'd be brilliant. He's made for radio, and I know you two will vibe off each other really well. The creativity that Ant brings is something I've never seen before, and it's probably the reason why I'm mates with them. So get a room, guys. You go.
Bless
well yourself. Out there, Ant.
Hey, mate, looking forward to coming staying over next time, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. Anytime.
I love your work.
Brad Weber, thank you so much for joining us. And that's high praise coming from Brad about you, Ant. So let's put you to the test next. We are going to make you do your first interview on The Edge. We've got Benny coming in. You've got 2 minutes with her. You can't make her walk out. Do you think you're up to it?
100%. Benny Benassi, my favourite artist. We're in the presence of an absolute rock star. So congratulations on, you know, taking the 4 awards.
Thank you.
It was great.
We haven't introduced her yet.
Yeah, well, no, I just wanted to say Soaked is one of my favourite songs, so
thank
that's what puts me to sleep at night, actually.
What we're going to do right now is, Ant, we are going to put you to the challenge. We're going to give you a 2-minute challenge to interview Benny, who's in studio right now, and if you can nail it, if she doesn't work out, that's a very big green tick for you.
Yeah, okay. Well, I just want to say you've won more awards than me, firstly. Participation at school was probably the greatest award I've ever got. So, congratulations. But how did you actually celebrate that victory?
Are we starting?
Mate, we haven't started the clock yet.
Are you ready? It,
okay. All righty.
Sorry, guys.
No, you're right. So, Ant, we're going to put you to the challenge right now. 2 minutes to interview Benny. 3, 2, 1, go!
Hit that clock. I just want to say congratulations, firstly. You're an absolute rock star in my eyes. But how do you celebrate a win like that? Because you're not looking too dusty.
I'm not looking too dusty. Am I?
No.
I'm a bit sick right now.
That's great.
I mean, I went to the after party.
Yes.
But I am a bit of a nana. So I didn't last very long.
Perfect. Benny, or just your salmon Benny, and the consistency of the yolk.
I don't eat eggs.
It's
quite sad.
Yeah, well, think about every single place that's out there, every eatery
I can't eat eggs. They make me want to vomit.
Okay, that's granola. You put me off with granola.
Sorry.
Your new EP, Stella and Steve. You've named your car Steve. You've named a few things, hermit crabs, snails, and whatnot. What really sort of grinds my bones, though, is because I've met a guy called Steve, and he's not a really good human being. So if you meet someone that just really ruffles up your feathers, are you going to start renaming the objects in your life?
I call them. If I didn't like someone, I just wouldn't call them Steve.
Okay.
I don't deserve it.
Fair enough. What kind of car are you running, and how many Ks do you get to the gallon?
A Honda Integra.
It is an old school. It's got the eyes that it sort of looks like one of those, out of Toy Story.
It does. You're not wrong.
So I think, obviously Rufus, one of my idols. I've seen him at Rhythm and Vines play, an absolute genius, actually, in my eyes. You're going to be playing at Laneway 2020, and that's going to be a heck of a tour. But something that is imperative when you do go on tour as a singer is the mouth organ, your larynx.
Yeah.
So now what kind of lubrication do you use to keep it nice and supple? And
not
also,
oh my lord!
Well, it is your most important. It's the mouthpiece.
It is.
So do you gargle before, like, you know, because you've got quite a nice husky voice. As a razor blades and whiskey.
Have you heard of vocal zones?
No.
I use those. I also drink lots of juice.
Yes.
But I don't really do vocal warm ups, and my mum tells me off every day.
Orange juice.
Pineapple juice.
Pineapple juice.
Boom! And 2 minute interview with Benny. Did very well. You got a few laughs, which is hard to do in an interview. Sometimes people just get really awkward. Benny, what did you think of Ant?
You're pretty good, man.
Thank you.
Pretty
can
good.
Can I dye one part of your hair next time?
Do you?
Yeah. Can I dye?
Because Benny's got a blue fringe at the moment. You want to add like some more to it?
Yeah, maybe a bit of pink.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, to make it go purple.
That could be kind of cool.
Mm, well, look out. Nice. Well, if he gets the job next time you come back.
You can dye my hair.
Oh, fantastic.
Aisha. Your live audition starts in 3, 2, 1.
Hello, it's Sharon here, and it is Quit Your Day Job live auditions. Ant was joining me before. Text through what you thought to 3343, but strap yourselves in because we're in for a wild ride. And I'm excited about this because we've got another girl power duo in here.
Yes.
Aisha, welcome to the studio.
Hi, thank you.
Now, Aisha, we've had you on the show before because you were on the Bravo show Below Deck.
Yes.
And when people saw that you'd auditioned for this, people are very excited. So
I know. Thank you guys so much. You've all been so supportive.
Are you going to tell us any of your crazy stories today, or are you going to keep it?
I'm going to tell a crazy story today, but it's to do with embarrassing myself and not revealing the incest of another party.
Because that's what happened last time. You were the only person.
I got in trouble.
You're the only person in 15 years that I've interviewed where afterwards the publicist has been like, please take that out. Please take that out. So I'm very excited about what you're going to bring to the table. It's Sharon here, but I'm joined by a new friend because I'm on the hunt for a new co-host because John and Ben are leaving at the end of the year. So we're doing... Oh, for goodness sake, mate. I was going to introduce you.
I tried to lean away.
Rookie error. You got to turn your mic off if you're going to cough.
Oh, sorry, babe. Don't know how to do that yet.
Well, okay. Well, this is Aisha, everybody. She's potentially my new BFF in the afternoons because John and Ben are leaving at the end of the year. We're doing Quit Your Day Job because I want you to help me find my new co-host because you've got to listen to us every afternoon. So we want to have the person that you want to listen to. And so Aisha is here doing a live audition this hour. And
hi, guys.
You are very, like, straight out the gate. I just could have so much fun with you. And I already, like, love having D&M conversations with you off air. But you are very happy, go lucky, very positive, but you've also got a dark side and you love a tantrum.
Yeah, I thought I'd share with you today. Everyone thinks that I'm just this happy person all the time, but when it's me with my family, I can have some ripping tantrums. So I'll fast forward back. What's back forward?
That's rewind.
I'll rewind. Back to my 21st birthday party. And so as all mature 21-year-olds do, I said we're all going to go to Rainbow Zen for my 21st party.
That is a bizarre place to choose a 21st. No. You can't even drink there.
I'm just so obsessed with my family being together. I was like, we're going to have a wholesome day at Rainbow Zen. So we go to Rainbow Zen and I gather a little meeting at the start and I said, the only rule I have is we all have to stay together all day. We have to do every ride together because it's togetherness. Anyway,
how many people are in your family?
There's 8, but 7 of us came because one was in the army and couldn't make it.
So 7 of you that have to go on every single ride with
you. Yeah, babe, it's my 21st.
That is a lot of people to be roping in. So how did this go?
So we're standing in the line for the Motion Master and the 3 cool ones who smoked were like, nah, we don't want to do this. It's babyish. We're going to sit it out. So I was like, okay, you can sit it out, but you're not allowed to do anything while we're in the Motion Master. And everyone agreed that was what was going to happen. So we're in the Motion Master, I'm having a real fun time, and then I come out the other side and they aren't there, and I just...
Where'd they go?
I knew that they must have snuck off to another ride, and I could just feel my blood boiling. So I'm like pacing around all of Rainbow Zen with like mum and dad and one of my brothers hot behind my heels, like trying to find where these guys went. And then I look up and I see them, 3 of them right in the middle of the pirate ship. And so I stormed over there and I placed myself right in the middle of the fence with them in my eye line. And I turned absolutely super saiyan with my tantrum. I was hysterical.
Oh my God.
Like all these families around me with all of their like 4-year-old kids, and I'm the one standing there bawling my eyes out. And it was funny now. It's funny now, but it wasn't funny then, watching the evolution of their faces as the ship swung backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards. And they would swing back. About 3 of them, they were like real happy ones. Then on the 4th one, you could see their face going, oh shit. Like,
yeah. What have we done?
Then the 4th one, they're all hitting
each other being like, okay, pretend like you're not having a good time. Just pretend like you're not having a good time. Then the fifth one swings back and they're all just like looking so depressed. Aww. And like everyone around them is smiling and they're just sitting there like stone face, hating life.
And so what happens when they get off?
And so then finally the ride stops. I'm like almost on the floor beside myself because they went on this ride without me. And then one of my brother's Isaac, I swear I've never seen someone leap so high in my life. Aww. He leapt out, cleared like 30 people at one time, sprinted around, grabbed my hand. He's like, let's go, Aish. And yeah, ran me around and went on the ride with me and patted me until everything was okay.
Well, I love a good adult tantrum though. Like our boss Ryan had a real good adult tantrum the other week.
Oh, Ryan.
Ryan was like, because obviously like this whole process of like trying to figure out how we're going to find a new co-host and stuff is very stressful. Like I've been like very emotional about it.
Yeah.
And he had rugged me about something and I packed a massive sad. And he's like, oh, are you pissed off? And I'm like, well, yes, actually I am. And I like got really angry because Ryan and I, we have a good fight every few weeks, but we get over it. And Ryan was also very stressed and he was like, oh, well, if you then do it yourself, and hung up
Ryan.
On me. But the best part was that he was using producer Dan's phone and he couldn't hang the phone up. So I was sitting on the other end being like, hello, are you trying to hang up on me? What is happening here? And then he could just hear this like, this thumbing of the phone and then he finally hung up. But it was like the most amazing like double hit of adult tantrum I'd ever seen in my life.
I was doing some Christmas shopping on Google and they, you know, when you search stuff now on Google, it sort of bombards you with ads relating to your search.
Oh, later on?
Yeah. Like yeah. You're like, oh, I've been looking for, Ben, in your case, nipple clamps. Yeah. And
a whole lot of nipple clamp related material.
And all your colleagues, friends and family are just seeing this.
I get a lot of that for myself and then a lot of princess stuff from my daughter. So it's a weird mix that Google sends.
Sometimes he gets princess nipple clamps. Queen Elsa and...
Yeah, all sorts of weird.
But speaking of nipples, so I was looking for Christmas stuff. And then I get, you know, ads for Christmas decorations.
They're like, this guy loves Christmas. Let's just fill his screen with Christmas paraphernalia.
Now, I'm going to show you these. These are something that I think I might, and for your penchant for the nipple region.
Okay.
It's a well-publicised nipple man.
Well, it's not. You just made this up. But anyway, yeah.
I thought I might get you these from Boohoo. They're lovely little nipple... nipple Christmas wreaths there, you know.
Oh, so they're like a wreath you'd hang on the door, but you're hanging
it on your nipples there. This lovely lady's modelling them there, but I thought those... do you think your nipples would hold those?
No.
You'd have to be sort of semi-permanently erect in the nipple
like
region.
Maybe in the chiller at the Super Liquor. I might be able to give it a crack, but not really. And I had to get three for you. Do they sell them in three packs?
He's got an ongoing joke. Him and Sharon, that...
widely publicised. Speaking of things widely publicised.
That I am... I'm running an extra nipple, an unexpected nipple. Which
someone brought that up in Christchurch. We ran into him at the races.
Like, he was like, you don't have one. And then I showed it. He's like, no, you don't.
No, you didn't. He was like, yeah, you do.
Anyway, I thought that was a lovely gift that I can buy you.
Thank you.
And then I went deep into novelty Christmas decoration gifts.
There's probably ones for the male.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's... they call that the decoration. I don't know, but if they haven't, then we are definitely trademarking the decoration.
The decoration.
hang it off you. You sort of put it in the middle, and it can hang like a donut.
Yeah, I got how it would work. Not great for when family and friends come over.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Only in a consensual, like, adult environment, but yeah.
Yeah, you don't want little children carols singers coming over. Oh, I wonder why this house isn't decorated. Oh, because open the door, it's decorated.
Okay, where is that?
Sometimes I'm like, the genius ideas just pop up.
Should why I? Do I Google that?
Google it to see if it's a thing.
Because if it's not, decoration.
Please tell me it's not a thing. Please, this would be the best day of my life.
Decoration. The art of decorating one's penis through methods including, but not limited to, tattoos, diamonds, stickers, wax paintings, gems, piercings.
Oh, but no Christmas stuff.
Wow. Christmas.
Yeah.
Okay. We're coming on to something here.
Okay, guys, if you don't hear from us tomorrow, it's because we have started a multinational billion-dollar business.
Nothing on the search. Do I dare click the image search? Or not?
No, if there's nothing on the search, that's us. Please, no one. We've got that. I know this is on the radio. Intellectual Property Office.
Decoration? I don't think
we're
Christmas
on to first thing tomorrow. Okay,
all right, there you go. Do you mean Christmas decorations? No, I don't. So there you go, Google.
My other thing was a snow globe, but it's also a cocaine dispenser.
Okay. Well, maybe for that one.
We'll trademark the first one. Maybe not
okay,
that one.
Right. 0800 The Edge, you want to know the quickest time you've ever been fired from a job?
Yeah, we're going to do 60 seconds to find, because Glenn Rice Jr., you might not know him, but you might know his uncle Ben.
Oh, God.
His sister Jasmine?
No.
His uncle,
Marty.
Glenn Rice Jr., he's a basketball player, and he was called in to play for the Breakers sort of last minute due to an injury.
Yeah, so he's from the States, played in the NBA, which is like the highest league over there. He's a really, really good basketball player, but he's had a bit of a troubled past.
Yeah, he came over here and they're like, oh, we've got this guy, but don't Google him. Because he's a checkered past, much like Ben. You never want to Google Ben.
That's right. But like, I mean, I think it's kind of cool they give this guy another chance. That you know, he's such a great talent on the court.
Huge. Sometimes I'm like, if they're good at basketball, let's forget about their indiscrepancies. Much like Tristan Thompson, he's had a
good year this
good
year.
Good year. Like, I mean, forget what happened to Chloe. Let's focus on the good parts of him. What's happening on the court?
I don't think there's not enough focus on Tristan Thompson's great basketball ability.
His scoring average.
Yeah. I mean, off the court. on the court.
Off the court, his scoring average is fantastic as well. But Glenn Rice Jr. came here, and they're like, oh, you know. He's punched a teammate.
Yeah.
He's been shot in the leg. I mean, there's a list of them, and they're like, but he's going to be good now. Don't worry, he's going to be fine.
Well, they're giving another shot, which is nice.
All about redemption here in New Zealand.
And unfortunately, it didn't quite work out because within 2 weeks, he was arrested.
For a bar fight. First thing in the morning.
So it's still got to go through the court systems, and we don't know what happened there. I feel sad for this on this occasion, because he's obviously got a lot going on, and he probably needs, you know, a bit of help through situations like this.
But the sad thing is the guys, he's been dropped from the Breakers, I think, after two games. How many games did he play?
Yeah, pretty much only played two games. Played really well.
Which is
games.
Devastating, because we've lost a good... I'm kind of like, do we forgive this? Put him back on the court.
Well, no, they need to go through
is
the
it worth
system.
Forgiveness? I mean, whatever the court says. Let's just go, okay, well, that happened. But, I mean, let's take a look at the winning scores of the Breakers season, because they need to have a couple of wins.
They do. I mean, love the Breakers, but
what's
we need
a loss
to...
in the courtroom for a win on the
no, we need
actual
to,
court?
They need to go through the system, so hopefully I'm sure they're sorting all that out right now.
Okay. 0800 The Edge, though. Has anyone been fired from a job quicker than Glenn Rice? 2 weeks, would you say?
Yeah.
What about 2 weeks?
Well, it's less than 2 weeks,
less
I think,
than two
he's
weeks.
Been in the country. Yeah.
Can anyone beat that? 0800 The Edge. We have 60 seconds to find anyone who has lost their job quicker, been fired quicker than Glenn Rice Jr. The clock starts now. We would have got a caller. Winter. How long did it take you to be fired?
About 2 days on the dot.
Oh, not bad. What was the job and what did you do?
So I went to apply for a job as a groom working for a stud farm near Auckland. And the very second day, so this was about lunchtime that second day, one of their foals, I hadn't quite shut the gate right, and it got out and nearly got out onto the main highway that they lived on.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
And you're like, shall I just walk myself out of here?
Say again?
Yeah, great. Great chat. No, love your work, Winter. Appreciate that. 2 days. Can we beat 2 days? Catherine's phoned through. Quicker firing than 2 days?
Yep, 55 minutes and possibly even less than 55 minutes.
We've got a winner.
Woo,
where was it?
55 minutes.
What
wow.
was the fireable offence, Kath?
I put too much corn in the freezer at the supermarket.
Don't you hate it when you do that? That's certainly grounds for a sacking.
And do you know which city it was in?
You tell me.
The city where it's the longest serving mayor that is a bit of a comedian, if you get my drift.
Oh, Auckland. Phil Goff.
No! Invercargill.
Oh, I see. Now it makes sense. Well, thank you, Catherine. 55
Too much corn in the freezer. That's a sackable offence,
it
right?
is. I can't believe
you've never been fired in my life.
Oh, I can't believe you're not calling from prison, to be honest. Shocking.
I must say, though, I was not fired from the supermarket itself. I was fired from my merchandising company.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for clarifying that, Kath.
The Book of Mormon, it's a hilarious award-winning musical written and directed by the creators of South Park, Trey Parker and Matt Stone. It's coming to New Zealand in March. And two of the stars are with us in the studio right now. Please welcome Blake and Nick. How's it going, guys?
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Now, guys, explain The Book of Mormon.
Well, I mean, it's written by the writers from South Park.
So if that gives you any indication of what it's about.
Yeah, Trey. So sort of, but it's about basically like an odd couple, two Mormon missionaries who get sent to Uganda, and the hilarity ensues.
And so do Matt and Trey sort of sit you down dead in the eyes and give you some sort of read you the riot act before you go?
Do you know what? Nick actually has a great story because...
Oh, yeah. When I got this job initially, I was auditioning for Matt and Trey.
Oh, so you had to sit in front of the South Park crowd as an audition?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Once you get to the very end, yeah, because they got the last say. And it was like a big room full of like 20 people. And then he was like... I did like my big song in the show, Man Up. They were like, okay, now let's go to like the next part, because I had like a ton of material to do. And he just got up and he was like, no, F it, you got the job. And he came over and he shook my hand and then walked out the door.
Oh, really?
And everyone else was looking at each other like,
really? Yeah. Do you think he had somewhere to be?
Yeah.
I've got a doctor's appointment. You're good. You're good.
It was voted the best musical of the century.
Yeah.
Is it still best musical of the century, or Buddy Katz knocked you off or something?
Well, no. We're only in this century now, so.
Yeah.
But no, it totally is. Look, it's honestly, it's the only show I've ever been in where I can unanimously tell anyone that I know or meet to come and see it, because you will absolutely have the best night of your life.
Because you did 1,000 shows in Australia so far.
Yes, we did.
What has been the standout worst one where suddenly it just didn't go to plan?
Oh, Perth.
Nothing ever goes to plan in Perth, does it?
Right? No, we've had some, we've had, actually there was, we once had a girl in the front row who was like, basically, like ruining all of our punchlines because she knew the show so well that she kept yelling out the punchline before we had a time to say it. So,
and I was going, get this girl out of here, like she's drunk or something.
Yeah.
Right. And then they come back to us and they were like, Nick, like, she has cerebral palsy. Oh. Like, and I was like, no, she does not. I know. I've seen her before.
Anyway, they kept telling
and
us
backstage.
And they
kept being like, whoa, Nick, like, obviously, has, some issues or something. And I was like, no. So I looked like a huge dick.
And then we walk out of stage door and she's there and she goes, I'm so sorry, guys. I'm just so drunk. And we were just like, oh.
I was like, see? I told you.
I mean, it takes a confident man to call bullshit on cerebral palsy.
I know. Exactly.
Hey, now, there's a bit of swearing in the Book of Mormon.
There's a lot of swearing.
We're going to play a little game. Producer Dan is going to try and live sense you as you list off all the swear words in the show one for one.
Okay.
Good luck, Producer Dan.
Okay.
I feel nervous doing this.
Just say the swear,
and he'll try and keep up.
Fuck.
Little delay.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
That is the first time I've ever nailed this game.
Thankfully, we'll still have a job after this.
We are with Brad and Nick from The Book of Mormon, which is here next year in March for a run. Guys, we want to play a little game for you. It's musical theatre in real life, where we're going to phone a travel agent.
Okay.
And you have to try and book a trip to Hawaii together. But the only way you can do it is via the communication of song. Good luck, guys.
All right. How's the travel? We're booking a trip to Hawaii.
Good luck. How's the travel?
Small town New Zealand.
Do we have a backing track? Or?
Oh, great.
Fantastic Travel. This is Grant.
Hello?
Yes, it's House of Travel here.
Hi there. I would just like to book a trip with you, please.
Yeah, where to?
Hello, can you hear me? We'd like to go to Hawaii, please.
It's one of my favorite places. I've always wanted to go there.
Are you for real?
I'm so real.
We love the beaches of Hawaii, and we would like to go there, please.
Now, who am I talking to?
This is Blake.
and this is Nick.
And we would like to book a trip with you
to Hawaii.
That was a wonderful performance.
I lost a big sale there.
Look, you're lucky we did that. We were only just saying before how we're like, we woke up this morning and we're like, we really can't sing today. Oh, we're like, thank God we don't have to sing. And then we come on here, guys. And you're like, sing.
Sing, guys, sing. The Book of Mormon is in New Zealand next March. Nick and Blake, thank you so much for coming in. Make sure you get your tickets at ticketmaster.co.nz. My mum, Jenny.
You know I love your mum.
I'll never call you my real dad. You know that.
I like Jenny Boy. She's a wonderful lady. And one of her quirks is she collects cake crumbs.
She does.
In a giant tin. All the crumbs left over from cake. She's saving them for one day to do God knows what.
I don't know. She loves hoarding. She's a hoarder. So it's no surprise that she's kept all my school assignments and all my school projects and artwork and all sorts of stuff.
For what purpose?
I don't know.
Like, why do they do that?
She bought some up a while back and she was like, these three boxes, I've had enough of it. You got to get rid of it. I'm like, Mum, this is impressive for you. So I had a look at the boxes and I was like, I don't need any of that, you know, get rid of it. And she's like, oh no, you can't throw it out.
She's the one who came and said get rid of it.
No, and then she put it back in her car and took them back home again. I'm like, well, what was the point of that?
The problem is, you know, there's going to be one day when Jenny's no longer here.
I'm going to have to deal with
this
that.
It's going to be your problem. This is going to be the bane of your life.
Yeah. But she sent a picture of a poster that I had made up as a kid. I'd obviously be doing a bit of an assignment about, you know, saving the planet. And, you know,
hippie.
Yeah.
Goddamn hippie. Greta Thunberg, how dare you?
And I was from, you know, from growing up in Marsden, you know, a lot of farms in the Wairarapa. And so I'd made a lovely collage, spent a bit of time, you know, and put a tree on this thing, you know, like I cut out some brown and put the green at the top. I put a bird in. And obviously I had targeted this message to farmers in the area. And I'd cut out in letters, so I'd spend a lot of time on it. Don't cut your bush.
But then in like a kidnappy style cut out letters from magazines.
Yeah. Also, don't cut your bush. It seems like, you know, if that's a whole other meaning. You know,
it was the 80s. I mean, it wasn't all the rage to cut your bush in the 80s,
was
it?
I was thinking. It was like, hey, guys.
It was a different
keep
time.
Keep it long. Keep it long.
It was a different time for the pubic midriff.
Yeah.
Wasn't it? It was a freer time.
So what I looked like, I was really campaigning for non-Brazilian waxes.
And he still sticks to that to that day. I mean, it's a constant message he's passing on to me. Hey, mate, don't. You know how I like it.
Don't cut your bush.
I feel like now, because I've taken your message so threateningly, that I have not done anything on there for a very long time. It feels like Krusty the Clown's living in my trousers.
There's a big off of the air. So you just say Krusty and trousers. That's a whole nother meaning.
Well, that's quite a good message for the Wired Upper bush too. Don't cut your bush. That could be the slogan for the Wired Upper. Bush is a versatile one though, isn't it? The slogan. You're welcome to Wired Upper. Don't beat around the welcome to Wired Upper. Two in the hand is worth one in the
I never understood that saying.
Two birds in the hands with one in the bush.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's like saying like what? Well, you're managing two birds in your hand.
Why is it worth only one in the bush?
Well, because what are you going to do? Your hands are full.
Oh, is that what it means?
Oh, I don't know. I'm trying to...
Yeah, I've got my hands full with it, and it's worth the same as if it...
I should have just left one in the bush so I could just carry one sparrow.
Is that...
I don't know. Now I've got a free hand to shake your hand and go, g'day, mate, what's your name? Ben. Joe, Ben, and Sharon. The Edge.